Pozdravi dobri dojo, or hello and welcome to two mats who consented to be in discord about miscellaneous topics of conversation. Yes, that's right, two mats stuck in conversation has gone PC, politically correct. My name is Matthew Hector.
And I'm Matthew Gallant.
And we do grade A manure conversation, bullshit talk, nonsense talk, whatever you want to call it. And who are we, Gallant?
We are two UCT students. I am a second year medical student. Hector is a second year information systems student. We talk a lot of nonsense on this podcast. We have an Instagram. It's at Two Mats Stuck in Conversation. Not the long name Hector just said. Last week we spoke about a success, or two of the most successful people you'll ever meet in your life. Asandi Vellani and Rahil Samlal, members of the Dialogue podcast. Go check it out. It was a great episode.
And today is the 8th of August at time of recording, 9 minutes to 11. But late today, after having a debate with Gallant about, you know, what's going to be in this podcast and what's not going to be in this podcast because political correctness. Anyway,
let's go into our Women's Day, people.
Oh, yes, it's
exciting
wonderful
time. Exciting times.
Trust this little light of mine, I'm going to shine positively, said Drake.
Indeed. That is what Drake said. Talking about Drake.
Into our lockdown recap, do you want to go?
I was trying to make a transition, but then you just ruined it. I was going to come up with one, but it's fine. It's fine.
One.
He has this track called Behind
Three
Bars, and that's the okay, whatever.
One, two, three.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the lockdown
Clearly,
recap.
You know when you walk into someone's house and you can just tell the husband and wife have just had an argument.
Can you just let me talk? Thank you. it's the lockdown recap. There are currently 553,138 cases of coronavirus in South Africa, recorded cases. There's 404,568 recoveries and 10,210 deaths. This is in South Africa. We do these lockdown recaps every podcast just to track the progression of the disease here in South Africa. We forgot to mention we are currently in quarantine isolation here in Cape Town, South Africa. Beautiful, beautiful town.
Gallant, do you by any chance have an update on where we stand as a country in terms of our COVID stats?
We are number 5 in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Number 5. We have one of the lowest numbers of deaths in the world, and that's a very good thing. Always brilliant. Hector.
So those cases are, that actually says that like majority or quite a large majority of our cases have transitioned to recovery.
Yeah, we have like, it's only about 140,000 active cases doing the rough math. We're doing pretty good. The curve seems to be sort of flattening. The daily infections are sort of stabilizing. They're no longer peaking. So that's a good thing. Hector, let's talk about music. What are you listening to, my man?
I'm listening to, if you like house music, I love house music, especially what is known as deep house, because deep house has an element of soul music to it, and I like soul music. And so I'm listening to a local DJ kind of artist. I call him a DJ because what he does is he basically remixes existing music. It's actually a group. There's two individuals. The one goes as 4-7, and the other one goes as Lukem, and together they are 4-7 and Lukem. And I absolutely love the music. I've been listening to that. What have you been listening to?
I've been listening to the Sad Boy playlists. One night, I think on Monday night, Apple Music was like, look, the rest of the week, you're going to listen to all the sad music about having broken hearts, which relates to our topic of the day, which is love and relationships. More about that later. But I'm listening to a lot of this guy called Tekoi, and he sort of makes
sounds like an alcohol.
No, but he makes like lo-fi. He makes like a lo-fi beat, and it's pretty great stuff. I've been listening to a lot of Moo. Do you know the song Lean On?
Like, I need somebody to lean on.
Lean On, yeah. So the singer of that, her name is Moo. Moo, indeed.
Moo.
And her music is great. I've been listening to a lot of her music. And Juice WRLD.
Are other tracks similar in terms of chord progressions and
She does a lot of like the poppy house, the poppy EDM, but her voice is really unique, and she just, and I like the vibe. She just doesn't care as an
So
artist.
if
She
I
just does
type
whatever she wants.
MO into Apple Music, she'll show up, or do I need to type MOO?
Yeah, you gotta type like M and an O with it, like a line through it. You know,
Where's that
like a
from?
diagonal line. It's she's from Denmark.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
So that's what that's called Moo, but you'll see there's like an M with it, like a diagonal line through it. I'm listening to Juice WRLD and The Weeknd's new song. I think
Ooh,
one
I
of
haven't
the,
seen that. What's it called?
it's called Smile, and I think in one of the lines in it, he says, "I don't want to die soon," or like you make some reference to dying soon, and I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy, because as we know, Juice WRLD died in December.
I didn't know that.
So that's kind of crazy, because it's like, oh, he says like he feels like he's gonna die soon or whatever, and I'm like, that's really like self-aware and sad.
You know, if sometimes Gallant recommends things that I'm actually interested in, and then I actually have the same notebook that I make timestamps on. I write down music and series recommendations. Speaking of movies and series, what have you been watching?
I've been watching this show called Lost in Space. It's on Netflix. And it has two seasons, but I'm only about like halfway through season one. And it's really good. And the reason why I think it's good is because it has some really good writing and stakes. Like, you know, like if, it's not often these days that action films like put me on the edge and have me like, I don't know what's gonna happen next. Because often like it feels so fantastical with like superhero films. It's like, oh, we know the heroes are gonna save the day, and everything sort of feels sort of out of reach, because it's all CGI and whatnot. But this is a show about this family who, them and a whole bunch of other humans, are moving to start like establish a colony on a new planet, and something goes wrong and they end up crash landing on an unknown planet. And so they sort of have to fend off all the dangers and survive this planet with this crazy weather, whatever this is happening. And it sort of feels like real. It feels like people could die. It has one of the best pilots I've seen in a long time. Like, for a pilot, I was at the edge of my seat. You can watch that pilot and you will be entertained for like 45 minutes. Like, it feels like a
So,
movie.
what's the overall genre of that show?
So it's mostly sci-fi. I wouldn't call it, yeah, mostly sci-fi with a bit of action and adventure. And it's a bit more on the serious side. Not that much comedy. But
I'm
it's
digging
really
that.
good. Highly recommend. And we'll talk about Blood and Water soon. But what have you been watching?
Over the last few days, I discovered a stand-up comic by the name of Tom Segura, or Segura. Segura, and he obviously makes my kind of non-PC comedy, and he's quite funny. Go check him out. He's got three Netflix specials, at least from the South African perspective. There's probably more if you have a VPN or you're from the US or
What's
whatever.
his name again?
Tom Segura, Segura.
Nice. I found the lyric, by the way, the Juice WRLD lyric. I've been as I think it's because it shocked me. So the lyric is, "Devil on my shoulder, telling me I'll die soon. I didn't really want that to impact you." And I'm like, that's one hell of a lyric coming from a dead man.
Is he kind of saying like, I don't want to die because I don't want you to feel bad for me dying?
Look, I feel like Juice WRLD's music has always been talking about his insecurities, and he's not. It's always mentioned like his struggle with like addiction. It's always mentioned like he feels like he's going to die soon. And a lot of the music that came out, like they released like a posthumous album, and a lot of the music talks about how like his substance abuse and how he feels like he's going to die soon and how he's like trying to work through it. Like, he doesn't say like, oh, doing codeine is great, but he's like acknowledging it's bad and he's trying to work through it. And so yeah, I just felt like it's one of those sort of self-referencing lyrics, and it's kind of scary when an artist does that.
That's kind of freaky. I think we'll close off with Blood and Water. So I just wanted, I was watching a series with my mom today called Inside the World's Toughest Prisons, with Raphael Rowe. And what's cool about it is his preface is he was in prison for 12 years in the UK, on account of murder and robbery. He didn't do those crimes. And so now the series is about, it gives you an inside look on the world's prisons. And one of the prisons which I saw is the. It's like a prison in Lesotho. And I've never actually seen images of Lesotho before. It's got all these like what do they call it? Drone images, and it's a very impoverished nation.
Yeah.
Everyone says they need to charge, we need to start charging them rent because they're like dead center, not dead center, but they're surrounded by South Africa. Do you know of any other regions that's where there's a country in the middle of another country?
Well, I guess the Vatican. You know, the Vatican operates as its own country inside of a city's capital.
Orania. Well, we won't talk about Orania today.
Does Orania even count? I feel like the Vatican is what counts.
But it's a really cool series to have a look. It brings up the argument of, do you have like a tough, strict discipline prison, or do you have like a more rehabilitation type therapy type setup to
Do they
make
show off the Norwegian prisons? Because have you seen those? Prisons in Norway that look like hotels, and it's apparently they have lower crime because of it, because it's all about rehabilitation. I feel
Did you
like
see that
that's
on
the
Carte Blanche?
I saw it on Vox. There's a channel called Vox on YouTube, VOX, and they had a whole video on it. But it kind of talks to about how prisons, the design of, like most systems in the world, law systems, is to rehabilitate, but the prisons don't really encourage rehabilitation. It's more they encourage punishment. So that's how that's the state of prisons. But I'm not a lawyer, so I can't talk about this.
I mean, I'm kind of like, on the one hand, I like the idea that we can, that you can make the world's biggest mistakes and recover from them and learn. But on the other hand, when you hear the crimes that some of the people have committed, it's kind of like, do you deserve that rehabilitation? And I'm glad that's not my job to decide, because I wouldn't be able to decide.
Indeed, indeed. But I guess the basis of any rehabilitation is like we've all made mistakes in our lives, some definitely bigger than others. And you know, we all just always want the opportunity to sort of move on and grow and start over. So I guess that's the basis of it. But I'm so happy I'm not making any of those choices. Let's talk about Blood and Water. I watched it.
I liked it. I spoke
It
about
came
it
out.
before, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I spoke about it before on the podcast, and it came out a while ago, and I finally got to it. I struggled with the first two episodes, I'm not gonna lie. And everyone was going on, this is great. It was like top 10 on Netflix in the US. It's brilliant. I think it's brilliant, like the characters and with the story they're talking. I just really vehemently have one massive problem, and that's the main character. She is annoying. I don't
I have a
know.
friend who has met the actual, who has met the actress, and he
Yeah.
says he's not a fan of her. Because
Okay,
apparently she's as annoying. Anyway,
I
I'm not
was
going to
gonna
talk about her.
question whether or not it was like the actress's way to portray the character in that sense, or whether it was the writing, or what I feel like is the truth, which is both. But like Pauline as a character was just annoying. She was so self-destructive, and like she wants these, she has good intentions, but she keeps doing the bad things, and she knows she's doing the bad things, and she knows it's gonna end badly. She still does it. Wade is one of my favorite characters. He reminds of our of reminds me of our friend Carvin Weiss. Shout out to Carvin. I could totally see Carvin doing that role though.
He also reminds me of a friend who I have not introduced you to by the name of, we call him Lucy, that's his surname. Linguistics friends, what's up? Speaking, okay, I won't get into varsity just yet. So you say that you don't mind like the film production, you don't mind the storyline, you just have an issue with the main character's tendencies.
Yeah, I have an issue. Like I think the story they're talking about, the whole idea of like talking about human trafficking, dynamics in terms of poor and rich, I think they're telling an important story, infidelity and whatnot. But I like the characterization of all the other characters. I think I like the way the coach is portrayed, I like the way Pauline's friends are portrayed. I like the way they handle the LGBT community. I like the way the show of Cape Town and all its various dynamics. I like all of that. They did like a spot on job
And our
talking
campus, my campus, that is.
UCT, and they show like how different regions of Cape Town have different lifestyles. They do that so well. But then you get Pauline and her character, it's annoying and poorly written, and
And
it's irritating.
the ending is kind of like, what?
But like the ending is just to lead to season 2, and I get that. I feel like you can do every single story beat with a less destructive character. And that's my take on Blood and Water.
Talking about series that we've mentioned before, you mentioned Space Force. I finished Space Force. What a brilliant series. If you like dry humor
Thank
and
you.
awkward series, like not awkward, like awkward humor and like awkward silences, you it's a great series to watch. Like if you like dad jokes, it's a great series to watch.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve nearly all the hate. It's not the most amazing show in the world, but it's definitely like entertainment that you won't regret it. You won't watch it and be like, oh, that was a waste of my time. You'll get like entertainment value out of it. John Malkovich playing Adrian Mallory is my favorite thing I've seen all year.
Is a great actor, and yeah, I wasn't expecting that LGBT turn. I love how they handled it in the series.
I cannot
And
remember the turn.
when he was singing, no
Oh,
spoilers.
you're
Yeah,
talking about Mallory. You're talking about Mallory. Okay.
yeah, yeah. And if you've watched The Office, you know Michael Scott is a very self-deprecating character. He doesn't reach much success throughout the series, but the character that Steve Carell plays in this show is actually quite successful throughout the series in his endeavors. It's refreshing.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I'd say I recommend it if you need something to like have in the background, or if you want to watch something while you eat, you know, something quick, because it's only like 35 minute episodes. So, and Lisa Kudrow, Phoebe from Friends, brilliant.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the show.
Moving on, Galant, what do you have to teach me today?
We are back at campus, which means I'm learning and spending most of my days learning again. And my topic, for this the next 2 weeks. Is HIV and STIs, and I learned some things about HIV. I learned quite a bit about HIV this week. So, what do you know what HIV stands for?
Human immunovirus or something like that.
Human immunodeficiency virus, right?
Could be AIDS. AIDS. Anyway,
No,
HIDV.
immunodeficiency is one word. And so that word immunodeficiency is interesting because before learning about AIDS, I thought, okay, I know it gets into your body, it gets into your immune system and starts destroying your immune system. Which is true, the virus does get into the cells themselves and actually cause them to destroy themselves, right? But it does something very interesting, which is that HIV actually, it turns your immune system into overdrive. It turns it on completely. It like puts it into this hyperactive mode, where suddenly it's just so. Everything is so active in your body. Your body's fighting off so much infection, and it's so inflamed. And it's this hyperactive immune response, actually immune over, too much immune system, actually is what causes it to fail.
Okay.
So yeah, and that was interesting. So in AIDS, that causes a deficiency by causing immune system to overreact. That's one point. The other point is, do you know how important your GIT, your intestines, your stomach is in HIV infection? I thought that HIV was mostly, I know partly in your blood and partly in your lymph nodes, right? But it's all in your stomach, most of it. In your intestines, that's where HIV is mostly found.
So it's found there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of lymph nodes, lymphatic tissue in your GIT, and that's where the HIV resides. And
Does it
it's
have
just
any
interesting.
interaction with the GID?
It just passes through.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It enters that way. But yeah, so it's just a lot of about how HIV works. And we know a lot, but not enough to find a vaccine, and that's just sad. Okay.
And you've got a word of the week here. Say the
Oh,
word. Did you want me to say the
oh,
word?
I was studying and I was like, this word. It is between two words, X-linked A gamma globulinemia. X-linked A gamma globulinemia. But this is the word I chose, and I want Hector to say it.
Hypergammaglobulinemia.
I'll say it hopefully better. Hyper gamma globulinemia. So hyper means too
You had
much.
enough, yeah, you've had a lot of practice.
Yeah, hyper means too much. Gamma globulin refers to antibodies. And emia refers to blood. So in HIV, because it causes so much infection and your body gets exposed to so many pathogens and whatnot. Because HIV sort of breaks down most of the barriers in your body, you have increased antibodies in your blood, and so that's what hypergammaglobulinemia means. There's too much antibodies in your blood, which causes a bunch of problems in and of itself.
Indeed, indeed.
Make that your Scrabble work, people. Just throw out that word. Imagine you win Scrabble.
It looks like gibberish, so it may very well be possible.
Oh.
In today's tech update brought to you by me. So first point is that the US TikTok market, as you may have heard, Trump wants TikTok out of the country because he thinks that it's China's way of spying
Fine.
on them and spreading propaganda, apparently.
What propaganda? That he
I don't
sucks. Because that's
know.
like TikTok loves making fun of Trump. I feel like that's the propaganda.
It's not China that's doing that.
It's your own people, Donald.
So Microsoft wants to save TikTok, the US TikTok market, by buying it for 10 to 30 billion US dollars. And I just think that if
I like to
my
say it
personal
means
opinion,
10 to 30, not 10:30. You can
yeah,
actually say English words and, say math
10 to
properly,
30,
Hector.
that's what I said.
Okay. Because I'm like 10:30 billion. I'm like, come on, Jeeves. It's 1,030.
Blame it on the FaceTime connection and on Telkom. Sponsored by Talk, not sponsored by Talk. Listen, I just think that anytime Microsoft takes over, it just doesn't go well. Need I
Hey,
remind
LinkedIn is
you?
not that bad.
And Skype, nobody uses Skype anymore. Nobody uses Lumia anymore. Microsoft's entire mobile market failed. Every time Microsoft was inherently a software company, and they've been trying hardware repetitively, trying to get into that consumer market out of the enterprise
Hey, the
market. They
Surface
just
Book is pretty good though. It doesn't have the same level of reach, but it's. Oh, and the Surface PC is one of the best designed PCs I've ever seen in my life. You have to admit. So they can do hardware, but they just can't do it on a large scale.
100% agree with you. And I would love a Surface Book. No, but the problem with that is that's not really consumer hardware. And my point is, because the average consumer is not going to use the studio PC or
Yeah, 100%.
so whatever. My point is, whenever they try to do consumer hardware, it just doesn't work out. And I think they're going to kill off TikTok if they buy it. But it's going either way. So either they'll just extend its death. Then Samsung brought out the new Note. It's the Note 20. They're doing tens now. Are they not doing 11, Note 11 or anything like that? It's a Note 20 and the Note 20 Ultra, and the Ultra's screen sort of stretches and curves and has thinner bezels, still has a hole punch, and the normal Note does not curve. It's got slightly thicker bezels, and the hole punch is slightly larger. But the biggest difference between the two, not the biggest difference, but quite a large difference between the two, is well, the Note 20 doesn't have a telescopic camera, but it's got the Ultra has the new Gorilla Glass, which you can drop from 2 meters and it'll survive apparently. But
Brilliant.
it's been noticed that the with the new Gorilla Glass, the display quality is not that good, even though the Note 20 has less a worse
That
resolution than
sucks.
20 Ultra. Because of the glass, it has some strange effect. Now, Samsung's trying to steal Apple's ecosystem game.
How?
So they've got their earbuds, they've got their tablets, and they've got their phones, and they're trying to get rid of your PC. Sound familiar? So what they've partnered with Microsoft once again. But actually this sounds really cool. So you may have heard of DeX, right?
Yes, I remember Dex. Are you talking about Dex?
Yeah, so the first thing is it's now completely wireless. So if you connect it to any display, you can just use
Ooh.
it like that. The other thing
Okay.
is, if you've got a Windows PC, you might have noticed there's an app called Your Phone at the very bottom, and you have that app right now. But with Samsung, you'll be able to mirror entire applications from your phone, like your WhatsApp app from your phone, on the screen, your Instagram app from your phone on the screen. And it's not like WhatsApp web. It's an actual mirror of those apps, which is really cool to be able to use that from your
That
laptop.
is really great.
Which means you can also use your, you can get your messages and whatnot. And that's a great way to do that sort of handoff type of feature that Apple does. Samsung's going for that. But it's so Google obviously runs Android, and that's Android working with Microsoft. Yeah, and Google's also like, throw away your Windows PC because we've got Chromebooks. So it's
So, are
like,
we also going to talk about the fact that, Google and Apple and Microsoft and Facebook, I don't think Microsoft, but they're all on trial right now.
yes, Facebook and Amazon as
Yes,
well,
and Amazon as well,
because
because they're all apparently monopolies.
they're being accused of monopoly behavior because they're not
And
allowing startups to grow.
indeed, and if they are found guilty, do you know what that means?
What?
That the US has the power to break up the companies, and dissolve them. So should
But what
Apple or
I watched.
Amazon or Google or Facebook be found to, do foul play, they might not they might not they may no longer exist, by the end of this trial.
That's catastrophic. Imagine they all don't make it through. We just won't have anything, technologically speaking.
Yeah, your entire world will crumble. That's the point. 'Cause they were talking about, they used this, so Google was talking about, Yelp, and they brought the US brought up, the government brought up Yelp in the court case. And so apparently a couple of years ago, Google started stealing Yelp's reviews and using it to populate their application, their search engine. So if you could search a restaurant, you get the Yelp review. And Yelp said, please stop stealing our content without, acknowledging or providing a link to Yelp. And then Google said, look, if you continue being this way, we're gonna stop listing you high up on the search results. Which, if no one goes to page two of Google, but Google said to Yelp, if you don't let us steal your content, we're gonna put you on page two and end your career.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so that's the kind of foul play they're talking about, because Google owns 98% of all search traffic. So it's crazy how much power these companies have.
Yeah. I believe there was also some accusation about Facebook forcing Instagram to let them buy them.
Indeed, Facebook so said they said either you sell or we're gonna release our technology and we're gonna become competitors. And so what they're doing now with TikTok, it's the same sort of mentality where it's like TikTok doesn't want to sell to Facebook. It's okay, we're going to put them out of business with deals.
Yeah.
Which doesn't look that
And
too good.
the Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, he was the one who seemed the most attacked. I didn't watch the Amazon one though, so actually he may have been worse.
Yeah, I haven't seen Bezos. Bezos one was more about these people that just Amazon stopped them from selling on the website with no good reason, and so they lost all the income. They had 50 employees
Yeah.
at this business, and it was just a bit rough.
That being said,
Are we moving to a uni update? Because that's rough. It's rough at uni.
1, 2, 3.
Oof.
Oof. Yeah, no, it's hectic, eh? Unlike a few weeks ago when it was not hectic, it's quite hectic. We're back at campus as of 3rd of August for me. Same for you, I believe.
Yeah, I'm back.
You might have more to talk about. I'll just quickly mention that I'm now a triple major student.
Hey, big numbers, big work, a lot of work. Smart
I
boy.
cannot afford to fail anything ever again. So, yeah.
I mean, I could never afford to fail anything too. Welcome to the club. We won't fail anything together.
What do you have to say?
That's the spirit. It's week one and I'm already behind. How? I don't know. It's just so much work. It's insane. I've
And
been
here you
working
are
and working
recording a
and working.
podcast.
But yeah, I'm recording a podcast because I need to vent, you know what I mean? You need to
Put some respect on his name.
get some energy out. Look, it's an insane schedule. We're doing a lot of subjects and we're still doing it from home, doing it alone. I was talking to someone this morning about how the mental battle that you have to sort of fight alone now as a med student or any university student. It's kind of nice when you're on campus and you're all suffering through it together, because then there's a sense of comfort. It's like, okay, we're fighting through this together and we'll make it through. But there's none of that, and now we're all just dying alone. So sad.
Uni has a way of glance typing. Uni has a way of putting your spirits down, which is great. That's always fun. I'm told to skip this section and move us straight on into our main topic, which is about love and relationships.
I'd like to just mention that we're going to be going to uni till the middle of December. I'm at home now for the rest of the year. Hector's at home for the rest of the year. So this is our lives now, living in our
homes.
You
miss Bernie?
I miss Bernie. Bernie's my good dog, for those who don't know. We do dissections.
He doesn't have one at home.
No, it's not one at home. It's one at campus. And it's very difficult to study anatomy without a body. So you can act like you don't get the tangible experience. But we're trying to work.
Could always go on the dark web and pick up one.
No, thank you. I like it legal and I like it consensual. A lot of med students are coming back to campus, years, third years, fourth years, fifth years. They're all coming back.
Om wat te doen?
To go do clinical work. So I miss that group. And I'm very happy I'm not a first year, stuck at home all year. Imagine, I wouldn't know what to do. And doing physics and like chemistry, where you need help.
Love physics.
Hector came to my physics lecture last year.
Many times.
Many of them. He just crushed them because he just refused to leave. Horrible boy.
You enjoyed my company. Let's not lie.
I didn't need a distraction.
What's cool about university physics is often they have practicals. Oh, not practicals, yes. But they put on the displays. Ah, it's so cool.
One day we were talking about frequency, like in terms of sound
waves, wasn't it?
Sound waves, right? We're doing sound waves. And to represent sound waves, my lecturer used fire.
And you can actually Google this experiment and you can find it on YouTube. And basically the way the gas comes out of like the pipe is affected by the sound waves, and it actually represents like a visual version of the wave.
Yeah, the waveform like on the graph, and it's like it's just like a closed cylinder. You pump gas through, and then you control various factors and variables.
Yeah,
and it just makes
really
the
cool.
waveform. It's very fancy.
Now start us off with our main topic, please, Gannett.
And
be careful.
So a few weeks ago, we sat down and we had a major brainstorming session. For episode.
I'll have you know that at the time of recording this episode, episode 13 has just been released. Episode 14 is being edited. And we're almost ahead of schedule. It's really cool. We even have episode 16 planned as well.
So we've been sitting on this topic for like 2 or 3 weeks, and it's changed a bit. But the topic is love and relationships. Once again, not like something we haven't spoke about on two mats.
And
stuck
I'd like
in
to preface this by saying that we don't know what we're talking about. And we don't know the meaning of love. I don't think anyone truly does. It's a very complex situation. It's not even a topic. It's a situation. And So when we speak about these things, it's based on our experiences and what we think we've learnt from, moving on and recovering from heartbreak, which is always
and
fun.
Watching a lot of movies and listening to a lot of sad songs and seeing our friends
Indeed.
Fall and rise. Most of this is
Indeed.
Just a meta-analysis of our lives. Whatever content that revolves around love, real or fictional, we're going to talk about it. Okay, let's move in. The first topic is the idea of playing hard to get. So I sort of had this thought. I was talking to a friend, and she at one point had so many guys going after, and it's pretty cool. She wasn't interested in it. It's like she was partially interested, partially not. So she played it hard to get, and all the movies will tell you, all the wiki hours will tell you, play hard to get, play hard to get. That's the kind of thing you want to do to get like anyone interested in you.
But it
might work. It might work. But if you play hard to get too hard, people will leave you. And you'll have the adverse outcome.
To my future husband, pay attention. Stop with this. And just get straight into it, please.
I need you now, but I don't know you yet. Alex 23. A great song. Excellent song. So yes, playing hard to get is a dangerous game. And also it's very confusing. Just don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. From everyone I've spoken to, it's just a confusing time. If you want someone, just say you want someone. If you don't waste people's time. Don't lead them on. Just say, I don't want you, I want you. Don't do this play hard to get thing. It's annoying.
I'm an advocate for communication and good communication skills. And playing hard to get is literally the opposite of good communication. So don't do it. Then, that's just actually quite short. I could have really gone into that because I'm experiencing some people playing hard to get.
Do you want to get into it?
I don't. I'll just mention that it was working. I'm not sure if it's going to work for much longer. Khafar, danger, be aware.
I have no idea what he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. He does know very confusing.
I can't give names or context.
He's playing hard to get with his opinion.
I'm not playing hard to get. Anyway, now, I have this opinion. Maybe I'm the only one who's experienced this, but once upon a time in a grade 9 life orientation class, and for those of you who don't know, life orientation is like teaching you about like drugs and health and good life choices, basically, and bad life choices, coping mechanisms and stress. Remember that?
I do.
We had to life orientation is one of
remember
those.
Remember checking in the life skills. We had to, like, every time we had a lesson, we had to do this check-in. We had to check about our mental health and our feelings. That was life coaching, but related to life orientation.
Enjoyed that class. I think I was the only one who enjoyed it.
At the time, I was like, this is nonsense. Why do we want to check in on our mental health and think about this and that? But now I'm like, you know what? That's checking in. Kind of valuable stuff.
Yeah. And I was going through, like, tough times. So I kind of resonated with it. I think I was the only one in the class. Anyway, so in this life orientation...
I just got a bit of stress. I got an email giving me an assignment right now. And I'm like, dude, it's like office 11. Can you wait till the morning?
I know those like 5 to 12 emails. Like, can you not? Can you just not? You should respond right now and go, how dare you at this ungodly hour? Anyway.
It's disrespectful.
I am not disrespectful. Don't get me started, Gilan. I'll stop this podcast and I will talk about what I wanted to talk about.
Listen, talk about your drugs, please. Can we stay on topic?
Okay. Let me give you some context. In this life orientation lesson, my life orientation teacher spoke about this concept of people who do drugs, and like the first time they do it, they get this extreme, like, very pleasurable high that they try to get and replicate like a second, third, fourth time, and they chase after that first time high, but they can't replicate it. And I'm not sure if this is true. I can't speak from experience. Don't know about you, Galant.
I don't
do drugs, kids. I like to think that your first love is just like that first time drug experience. It's so euphoric and amazing and special, and like, we're going to be together forever. Forever is apparently like 8 months, 12 months.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
And you might find yourself chasing after that similar set of of emotions, that euphoria, that extreme infatuation / love. Love is real, Galan, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Love is real. I feel like it's most people just chasing after that honeymoon period because of all the hormones that get released.
But I feel like it's an extreme. Maybe I'm looking at it from that high school perspective, because my first love was in high school, and in high school your hormones are at like an extreme like peak. Am I wrong?
There are, but like it's just like that honeymoon period. It's on like a biological level that you it's like all those feelings of like, oh, when you see them, you get butterflies because of all the like the adrenaline in your system, and that gets you excited. All the oxytocin and dopamine, that you get from seeing them and them being around you and whatnot, and also like the idea of like they're so new to everything and you and everything you tell them,
Indeed.
they didn't know about you before. And so it's like very exciting that sort of rush.
So you agree with me with that first time
Well,
experience?
it's the first time drag is probably very serious. It's like a first time experience with anything that's sort of quote unquote positive or idolized. It's like you try like your first 3 weeks of university are super exciting, where it's like, oh, I'm big now, I'm studying the degree, I've got the friends, I'm going out, I'm having the work and the social life, and you sort of get to this high. And you sort of can't replicate it again in university because it's just that one time experience of everything being so new. So I think that goes to anything that's new and so fetishized or looked after, like falling in love for the first time or going to university or anything like that. All those big things the media says is big moments in your lives, milestones.
Yeah, my heart rate is quite close to 100. I don't know why that is.
He's thinking about people.
Now.
Thinking about people, I always think about the single people, myself. And you know, there's a saying that coaches don't play, except unless you play FIFA 11, in which you get player manager mode. Throwback to that, if you played FIFA, that mode failed because you cannot be a player and a manager. That's why they took it out of FIFA. You have to be a player or coach. That said, some people always say single people give the best advice, and that's mainly because they have perspective. I think that's it. But also, I feel like single people lack the idea of what it's like to be in the situation, because when you're in the thing, you don't know what's happening. You know, they always say life can only be understood looking backwards and not moving, but it moves forward.
That is indeed accurate and truthful. I pose a question to you. Is love real?
Yes, it depends on the kind of love. I feel like this year, because I've been forced to stay at home, my views on love have changed a lot, and I've received an immense amount of what like platonic love from my friends, and what
Your
constitutes
co-host.
my co-host and I had an argument. We're not going to talk about it. But I know I've received a lot of platonic love from people, and it sort of changed my view on love. It's no longer that like that the storm of hormones. It's sort of the general I care for you, no matter what. I'm not interested to care about what you're doing with your life in terms of like no one wants to capitalize off you. They want to know about you. That's sort of what love is about. Being with a person because of who they are.
Yeah, it's like I care for you and I just want the best for you, no matter what. And sometimes you don't realize that what is good for you might not enjoy or like, but it's wanting that ultimate growth for that person.
Indeed. So, like, love is this big complex thing, and then so I've sort of embraced the idea of the different forms of love much more intensely now, especially platonic love. It's not something I thought about, but like it meant a lot to me this year when I was at home in quarantine. And my friends are messaging, being like, "Hey, bro, what's up? Are you okay? How's life going? Been thinking about you, whatever." Like that kind of just caring. So love is definitely real. Also, my Instagram is popping every day with people I know getting into relationships, getting engaged, my bro, getting engaged.
So we actually know a few people now.
19, 20-year-olds getting engaged.
Congratulations to all of you. I wish you the best.
Congratulations. Can we come to the wedding and be your MCs? Thank you.
Oh, imagine first live performance, 2 minutes stuck in conversation. If you want us to MC your wedding, we'll be there for FaceTime for now. If it's next year, we'll actually be there. Hopefully. Touch wood.
Indeed, we might sing a song or two, with Hoyt in.
karaoke, as my friend Liam, who was once a guest, our friend,
yes,
likes to call it.
So, talking about this idea of love, I thought about this the other day. I was taking a shower and I was thinking about the math, right? There's like 7 billion people in this world, as Justin Bieber said once in a song, As Long As You Love Me. 7 billion people in this world trying to fit in. Keep it together. Smile on your face even though I can't remember the rest of the lyrics. Anyway, so the idea of the one. There's like at least like 30,000 people out there who are at least compatible with you. So I think this idea of the one is kind of wrong. It's about finding that that person you're compatible with. And I feel like soulmates are made. I'm 100% convinced soulmates don't exist. Compatible individuals exist. And then with experience and arguments and good moments and bad moments, you sort of create your soulmate. You know, love is brought about through shared experience.
I also like to believe that even if you're not technically compatible with someone, you can still find love with anyone if you're willing to put the effort in, if you think that person is worth your time, which brings me on to my point, which is the idea of working for your relationship. I once heard I recently heard someone talk about the idea that you should regard your relationship as a third entity in your relationship. And much like you put effort into yourself, which is important, you put effort into your partner, or for your partner rather, you should also put effort into your relationship in itself and what makes that relationship work and what makes it cohesive. So I watched this YouTuber by the name of Peter Mon. He's a drama channel on YouTube. He covers YouTuber drama because that's a thing. And his husband and him, they go to marriage counseling, even though they have a very successful relationship, but it's their way of keeping the peace. And really all it is bringing in like a third party to advocate for that communication, which is important in a relationship. So don't forget
I think that's pretty healthy. I feel like that's a situation of like, it's like, I feel like it's not, no one's mad at each other. Everyone just wants to work for the betterment. And sometimes you need that mediator just to be like, okay, you stop speaking. He needs to speak. Here's the alternative side. Where's the empathy? So that sounds pretty healthy. I'm happy for them.
Yeah. And sometimes if you say, like, if you're having a conversation about something, you might say the wrong thing. Like you don't mean what is actually, like, sometimes you say something and it gets misinterpreted, and having a third party is great for deciphering what you're actually trying to say. So yeah, work on your relationship. Now your question.
So my question is, what's the point of all of this, Davis? What's the point of love and trying to find it in whatever shape, way or form it exists?
I don't know. I'm a
brilliant.
I believe in Darwin's theory of evolution, and I think that it's in our nature to want relationships because it helps us survive as a species. It's like a craving.
Indeed, I had a massive thought yesterday on my run about the human connection and how it's really essential to getting through things. To give a little sidetrack on that, yesterday I decided to run 18Ks on my own from Cock Bay to Simonstown. It was pretty fine until I got like a muscle cramp, right? And it was just difficult, like the mental battle to tell myself to keep running through the pain was really difficult. But what actually helped me was this couple who were running on the other side of the road. They had no idea who I was. I had no idea who they were. And I had been struggling for about 600 meters to try and get myself going and running again. But like the minute they came past, I was like, oh, okay, Let me just try and keep up with him. And that can help. And so the idea of human connection helps a lot. And it's proven that like running with a partner, running in a crowd, or running clubs, they do help you to stay on track and pick up where you left off. So there's a massive need for human companionship, even if it's not a direct, "Oh, I need to talk about my feelings, I need to voice my fears." Just someone
Yeah.
being there, going through the same things with you is very
You don't
helpful.
realize you need that support structure. That companionship is very important. Speaking of companionship, you've been doing some introspection, I believe, on friendships.
I have. That is also accompanied by the sad music.
Cue sad music.
Cue sad music. But I've been thinking a lot about friendships in quarantine, what it means to be friends with someone. And so when I was in high school, I thought, okay, friends talk every single day. Friends are like very intensely part of your lives, et cetera, et cetera. They're like in that close circle. And that view also changed with me. I have a friend who I only talk to every like week or two, but I still regard as like one of my best friends. And it just shows that it goes to show that every relationship's different. But I've also learned that friendships, I feel like the point of it is to ma everyone's gonna make you better, they're gonna make you worse, right? And that's just part of life. And someone can come into your life for 8 months and change everything about you and make you a completely different person. And whether that's a good thing, like you're a better person or a worse person, that's inconsequential to my point. It's just that someone can be in your life for 8 months and change everything, or they can be in your lives for 13 years and almost have zero impact on you. Like they won't be that memorable, but that 8 month person you'll never forget. And so I've sort of learned that like life and friends just ebb and flow in and out. And it's difficult at times because I miss a lot of people that used to be in my life. Or I wish there's people that I could have better relationships with, people I regret maybe creating better relationships with or investing so much time in. But like I just have, I'm starting to accept that friends come in and out of your life, and sometimes it's not your choice. Sometimes they need to let you go, and sometimes you need to let them go for the growth. And it's been a very tough pull to swallow as a growing individual, or maturing individual. But and I'm not saying I've completely solved the problem of learning how to let go of friends and accept the way things are. But I'm trying, and I've recognized it's something I need to do.
Yeah, not to contradict our previous podcast, I forget which episode it is about adult friendships. The idea that you are there for each other, but you realize that you can't be in each other's company all the time. You have to, but like for you and I, for example, we talk maybe once a week.
Yeah, that's a bit of an exaggeration. It's more like
I mean
every
like
second
I mean
day.
in-depth conversation,
Yeah, we
in-depth
have like one
conversations.
video call a week, and then the rest is like sending memes the rest of the week.
And it's like you will not believe what just happened to me, and then talks about some catastrophic failure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I believe that friends do indeed come and go, and that's okay. Don't like I also believe in that whole concept of you earn your place in someone's life, and it's never guaranteed.
Yeah, but isn't it like so difficult though? It's like it's a wild idea of like nothing is certain. Like you can have that person in your heart and be like, "Yes, you have a place in my heart," but like they could always just leave, and that's kind of scary. And so like you value the people you have around for 10+ years. My
That's
co-host for
love.
one. It's love. That's love. That's where the love part comes in. And I have people that I don't want to leave my life right now. But if
It's
they do
putting
leave, then
your
what's gonna happen?
vulnerability into someone else's hands.
Exactly,
It's
but it's
scary.
it is indeed, but like it's just it's so you're so vulnerable, and it's kind of weird when you think of friendships in that way, because you often think of like love relationships, love like movie love, like romantic love, in that sense of like, oh, they could break up with me at any moment, and that's fine, but like I'm gonna be honest, like friends have hurt me a bit more than anything else in the world, and that cuts deep. Like a friendship pain is a different kind of pain, the level of betrayal that you can feel. That cuts deep.
It's kind of like, because no matter what, you expect your friends to be there, and you almost don't feel like you can disappoint them, so to speak. Not disappoint them, but like you can't, they're not gonna run away when you do something like kind of scary or
Exactly, you
something
feel
like
like
that.
there's a lower level of risk with a friend. You feel like, okay, with their friend, they don't expect as much from me. And thus, like, I can say what I want, I can do these actions, and I ideally, they're not going to leave me because of it. But the point is, if they do leave you, that cuts deep because that means whatever you did has to be really serious. I feel like in a romantic relationship, it's the small things can end, cause the relationship to fail. Because of how intense it is. So,
At least in the honeymoon phase, yeah.
yeah, especially in the honeymoon phase. So the small things can amplify really greatly and make it so intense. But generally, the small things are not going to end a friendship. So when friendships go south, it's something big had to happen, and that's really catastrophic and really damaging.
I feel like with relationships, there's more on the line. I mean, that's why it's more fragile, because when you're dating someone, you're kind of constantly trying to answer the question, am I going to marry this person? Am I going to spend the rest of my life with this person? Am I going to start a
I
family
was
with
on
this person?
Reddit, and says I was on Reddit, and the person said you have to be very sure when you get into a relationship or when you fall in love because it ends one of two ways: either you're gonna marry them or you're gonna have to be ready to break them.
Yeah.
But either way, once you say let's try this, it's not gonna change. You know what I mean? It's either you're gonna marry them or you're gonna break them, and
That
that's a
is.
that's a that that level of like either we're gonna have the happiest moment of our life. Oh, I'm gonna break you, like break someone you love. That's a really scary thought, but it is the fact of the matter.
Well, this is kind of shitty to say, but we spoke about rejection. And if you're breaking someone, you're helping them grow.
Yes, but like I don't want to break
Also,
someone I think is very
no.
cool. Like I don't want to do that. Like I
Yeah.
wanted to become friends with you or whatever because I thought you were like really cool and you could bring I always say I didn't spend my time with people I don't think are somewhat impactful or I feel like I can't learn something from them. Why would I want to break them down? You know, that's never my point. That's a real evil move. I was to lead someone on and then break them down. That's hashtag malicious. Like
Always
hectic.
hashtagging things. Random side note, but you were telling me about this book that you were reading that you didn't read it, you Googled it and or something like that. And you spoke of, I think it was you mentioned that in order to make or in order to build a relationship with someone or you have to share a happy moment that has where you open up to your traumas or something like that. Did I
Oh, it's a book called When. I can't remember the author's name. I think his name is Daniel something. And he was saying
Daniel Pink.
Daniel Pink.
When is the right time to do anything?
The book is called When is the Right Time to Do Anything? And so he talks about a lot of things like, for example, when's the best time to make a life-changing decision? What time of the day? What time is the Like, what time should you do exercise for which results? What time should you do this and that at work? And it's just a great thing about scientific basis for when to do certain tasks. And one of the things he talks about is marriage. He says that it's best to get married, I think, between the ages of 29 and 32. After you have your degree, you finish your education, and after you've been dating for a year, that has the lowest level of or the lowest risk of divorce,
Yeah.
for example. So that's one thing. Like he analyzed a whole bunch of data for that. Or he spoke about how you remember moments best, happy moments best, when they mix with a moment of sadness as well.
That's what I
So
was
like,
pointing
so
at,
it's
yeah.
sort of like, okay, the year's ending. This is the end of matric. That's the sad thing. But the happy moment is, oh, all my friends are here for one last time, and we're all gonna have this like massive party, and we're all gonna be happy together. So it's this happy moment, and it only means something because the sadness is never gonna happen again.
Indeed, indeed. Anything else to add?
Take care of your friends, folks. Hold them
Indeed.
tight.
Check in with them.
Check in. message first. Don't
Please,
believe
text
that
first.
nonsense where
Oh
it's
my
like,
word.
don't text first for whatever reason. No one cares. What they do
Yeah.
care about is whether or not you check in on them. And it's very tiring if one person's always doing the checking in because you're too scared to, or you believe
Indeed.
some form of societal thing that's like, oh, I'm female, I cannot text first.
And don't not start a conversation just because you were the last person to say something in
Double,
the
triple,
chat.
quadruple text. We want,
Yes.
if they are your friend, they want to feel your excitement. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
And if they get chased away by your enthusiasm, then they're not the one.
Exactly. And you won't be disturbing them. They'll answer you eventually. They'll have do not disturb mode on if they don't want to be disturbed. Like, come on.
Yeah. Be extra. Be the most. Be everything that you can be.
Be you. And with that said, this has been Two
Two
Mats
Mats
Stuck
stuck
in
in
Conversation. You
conversation.
can find us on Instagram at Two Mats Stuck in Conversation. Go check out our last
Yes.
podcast, episode 14,
Success.
Success
Yes.
with Asande Vilani and Raya Samlal, members of the Dialogue podcast and all around good people.
If you're wondering between these two maths who consented to be in Discord, if they have the qualifications to speak about what they are speaking about, please write to us at two maths who consented to be in Discord and take that letter and stick it up your ass, of course. This has been two maths
Stop
stuck in
fighting with
conversation.
the audience, Stevens.
This has been two maths who consented to be in Discord about miscellaneous topics of conversation.
Also known as Two Mats Stuck in Conversation.
Thank you very much.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.